In this week's parsha, we find the obligation to prepare the Shemen HaMishcha. The Shemen HaMishcha was a compound of oil and a variety of spices. This Shemen HaMishcha was going to be used to anoint, consecrate the Kalim of the Mishkan, and it was also going to be used to anoint Aaron HaKohen as Kohen Gadol, and the descendants of Aaron HaKohen as Kohanim Gedolim, and in the future, this Shemen HaMishcha was going to be used to be Moshech, to anoint the Melochim in Klal Yisrael, who were from the dynasty of David HaMelech, and in fact it was used by that to anoint them and to anoint all the Kohanim Gedolim, until the last Tkufa, until the last period before the Churban of the Bais Rishon. And the Torah lists the ingredients of this mixture, because as we said, it's a mixture of oil and a variety of spices. And the pasuk starts out by saying that this was unique amongst all the kalim of the Beis HaMikdash, of the Mishkan, because this particular vehicle that was used in the base in the Mishkan, namely the Shemen HaMishcha, had to be made by Moshe Rabbeinu himself, and therefore the pasuk says "Vayedaber Hashem el Moshe Leima," that the Ribbono Shel Olam commanded Moshe, and he said to him, "V'ata kach lecha besomim roish," I want you to take a group of choice of unique spices. And first and foremost amongst them is a spice that's name was Mordror. That was the name of the spice. The name of the spice was Mordror. Although in our parsha, the usage of this Mordror was as a component of the Shemen HaMishcha, nevertheless, the Mordror was also one of the 11 spices, one of the 11 Samamonim that were used in the Keteiros. And this, the Ramban, in his Pirush on this week's Parsha, elaborates upon that. In fact, this Mordror was used both in the Shemen HaMishcha and in the Keteiros. The Gemara in Maseches Chulin on Daf Kuf Lamed Tes Amud Beis asks a question. And the Gemara's question is, Mordechai min haTorah minayin? Where is there an allusion in the Torah to Mordechai? To which the Gemara answers, this week's parasha. Because in this week's parasha, as we just said, one of the spices used in the Shemen HaMishcha is named by the Torah as Mor or Mordror. And says the Gemara, if you look in the Targumim of the Torah, if you look at the Targum Unculus, for example, and indeed other Targumim as well, you will find that the Targum translates the words Mor Dror Miro Dachio. So if you put together Mira and Dachio, you end up with Mira Dachia, which basically is Mordechai. And therefore that's the allusion to Mordechai in the Torah. This Gemara obviously presents somewhat of a problem, because it's pretty obvious that Chazal weren't playing a game and simply trying to find out where you can fit the name Mordechai into Moshe Rabbeinu's Torah, because there would be absolutely no point in that, and absolutely no purpose in that, and absolutely no function in that, other than playing a game, which obviously Chazal weren't interested in doing because they had better things to do. Therefore, one has to assume that there is something else underlying this Gemara. And when the Gemara asks Mordechai min ha-Torah minayin, the Gemara is not asking where do we find a allusion or a hint to the name Mordechai in the Torah. But the Gemara must be asking, Chazal must be asking, where do we find a concept in Torah which parallels that which Mordechai represents? To which the Gemara answers, yes, we do find a concept in Torah which parallels what Mordechai represents. And the concept in Torah that we find is this ingredient in the Shemen HaMishcha, which is called Mor Dror. But that in itself constitutes a problem, because firstly, what does Mordechai Taka represent? That we're looking for a concept in the Torah which parallels that which Mordechai represents. That means we're making a presupposition, and the presupposition is that Mordechai represents something or symbolizes something. What does Mordechai represent and symbolize that we're looking for a parallel concept in the Torah? And the second problem is that as far as we can see, Mor Dror is simply the name of an ingredient, the name of a particular type of spice that is used as an ingredient and component of the Shemen HaMishcha. It's not a concept. And yet Chazal seem to see it and seem to treat it as a concept. So if it is a concept, what concept is it? So in order to understand all this, I think one has to understand another point that needs some clarification in the entire story which is told to us about the salvation of Klal Yisrael at the time of Mordechai and Haman. Something about the fact that Klal Yisrael were miraculously saved from the Gezerah of Haman. And Lichura, at the risk of being called an apikoros, there is something very strange which La'anios Daiti needs a certain clarification. And that is that both in the Megillah and certainly in Chazal, in other words, certainly in those Dafei HaGemara, in Maseches Megillah, where the Gemara discusses Pasuk by Pasuk more or less the Megillah Esther, and certainly in the Ma'amari Chazal that one finds in the Medrash on Megillah Esther, there is one theme which is repeated time and time again. And that theme is that Mordechai was the Goyel Mordechai was the savior, the redeemer of Klal Yisrael, that terrible, traumatic period of time. And both the Megillah and Chazal elaborate and get ecstatic about the praise of Mordechai and the reward that is due to Mordechai for everything that he did in order to save Klal Yisrael. V'ani HaKotan always had a problem with this. Why? Because Lichura, this seems to contradict a Gemara in Maseches Megillah. The Gemara in Maseches Megillah on Daf Yud Beis Amud Beis investigates the Yichus of Mordechai. Because the Gemara has a problem. The Gemara can't quite work out what is the lineage of Mordechai. On the one hand, if you look in the Pasuk in Megillas Esther, there seems to be an internal contradiction within the Pasuk. On the one hand, the Pasuk says that Mordechai was Ish Yehudi, which Chazal understand to mean that he came from the Shevet of Yehuda. On the other hand, it also says in the Pasuk that he was Ish Yemini, which Chazal understand to mean that he came from the Shevet of Binyamin, to which Chazal have a problem. Who was this Mordechai? Was he an individual who was from Shevet Yehuda? Or was he an individual who was from Shevet Binyamin? There seems to be a contradiction within the Pasuk when the Pasuk is describing his lineage, his Yichus. To which the Gemara brings a variety of answers as to how to explain this apparent contradiction. And the most obvious one is, in fact, an answer which the Gemara brings in the name of one Manda Omar, that it depends how you look at it. If you look at it at the lineage on his father's side, or you look at it the lineage on his mother's side. That one, from one side he came from Shevet Yehuda, and from the other side he came from Shevet Binyamin. That is one option which the Gemara brings. However, the Gemara brings there an opinion of Rava. And what does Rava say? Rava says something very interesting. Rava says the following, that when the whole negative situation of the Gezeira of Haman arose, when the whole problem started, Klal Yisrael saw both Mordechai and Haman as being responsible for this Gezeira. Haman was responsible for the Gezeira, that's obvious, because Haman was the person who instigated the Gezeira. It is true that the Gezeira was a Gezeiras Melech. It's true that it was Achashverosh who actually gave out the royal decree, but he did it at the instigation or on the advice or on the promotion of Haman. So they blamed Haman. But they also blamed Mordechai, say Chazal. Why did they blame Mordechai? Because they said that Mordechai was to blame for the whole thing. Because had not Mordechai reacted in what is seemingly a very stupid manner, then the whole problem would never have arisen. Because how did the whole story start? The whole story started because there was a megalomaniac. by the name of Haman, who decided in his infinite wisdom that he is a divinity, or at least the closest thing to divinity. And unlike other people, he had no backing for it. And therefore, it was simply pure megalomania. And what did he do? He created a law. And the law said that if you bump into him, if you see him, if you pass him by, you have to bow down to him. And according to Chazal, there were a variety of other issues involved as well. He hung what was a common Aveda Zara around his neck, etc., etc., etc. So what should have been the reaction? What do Jews always do in a situation where there is a legislation of anti-Semitic nature, but the legislation is such that it is only at this point in time actually problematic if you find yourself in a given situation? Well, Jews have a way of getting around this. Jews are original people, and they're bright, and they have a way of getting around it. Don't put yourself in the situation. If you don't put yourself in the situation, you haven't got the problem. So there is a law which says that if you bump into Haman, if you see Haman, if you meet him on the street, you have to bow down. So find out his schedule. When does the man go on the street? And whenever he goes on the street, you go to the Beis Medrash. And whenever he goes home, you go out on the street. In which case the problem is solved. And that is the way in which most of the Jews actually related to the Gzeira. Livroyach min anisoyen. Don't put yourself in a situation where you're running into problems. There's one individual who's a dafkanik. He's an ipchamistabrinik. No, he's going to demonstrate. He's going to change the world. He's going to make sure to find out the schedule of Haman. He's going to find out exactly when Haman goes in the street. And then he's dafka going to bump into him. And he's dafka not going to bow down to him. And the megalomaniac gets upset. And the megalomaniac gets annoyed. Surprise, surprise. The megalomaniac goes meshuggah and says, destroy all the Jews. But of course he says meshuggah and says, destroy all the Jews. You've got one Jew that's machta meshuggah. He's driving him crazy. Say Chazal in the Gemara in Megillah that Bo Knesset Yisrael, Klal Yisrael came with a taina, and they said, Ra'u, ma osali Yehudi? Look and see what trouble was caused to us by Yehudi. Uma shilem le'yemini. And what trouble was caused to us by Yemini. And that's why the Pasuk says, Ish Yehudi, Ish Yemini, because it is alluding to that taina that Klal Yisrael had. And what did Klal Yisrael mean? Says the Gemara, there was a man whose name was Shimi ben Gera. He was commander-in-chief of David HaMelech's army, and he was the Rebbe of Shlomo HaMelech. And he cursed out David HaMelech. And the halacha is that if you curse out the king, you are chayev misa. And David HaMelech, for a particular reason, didn't want to kill him, and therefore he didn't kill him. He left the tzavor to Shlomo HaMelech, and he said to Shlomo HaMelech, when you become king, make sure that Shimi ben Gera dies. But he himself did nothing. In other words, here was an individual who was Mechuyev Misa, David HaMelech should have killed him. David HaMelech didn't kill him. And what resulted from the fact that he didn't get killed? That he had children, and those children had other children, and those other children had other children, and the descendant of his was Mordechai. Furish in the Pasuk. And Mordechai was the guy who caused us all the problems by virtue of the fact that he dafka went to meet Haman and wasn't Mishtachava. And so too Haman, who was an equal partner in the whole thing. Because there was a gentleman called Shaul HaMelech, and he was Mishevet Binyamin. And he got a tzivui from the Ribbono Shel Olam. What was the tzivui that he got from the Ribbono Shel Olam? That he should kill the Amalekim and he should kill Agog, Melech Amalek. And he didn't kill the Agogi. And what happened? The Agogi had children, and those children had children, and those children had children. And who was the descendant of Agog? Haman. So we say Klal Yisrael are suffering because of David HaMelech Mishevet Yehuda on one hand, and because of Shaul HaMelech Mishevet Binyamin on the other hand. That's what the Pasuk means when the Pasuk says, Ish Yehudi, Ish Yemini, it's alluding to that. So what's Rava saying? According to the testimony of Rava, what's Rava arguing? That Mordechai was responsible for the tragedy that was about to happen to Klal Yisrael. Because if Mordechai wouldn't have been around, so it seems from Chazal, there wouldn't have been any problem with Haman. He would have made his stupid legislation and nobody would have taken any notice of it. Everybody would have kept away from it. And this time would have got bummed by. It would have disappeared. In which case there would be no necessity for the Ness at all. So how come on the one hand here we've got a slamming condemnation of Mordechai as being the source and the cause of the whole problem? And on the other hand, we've got all these divrei chazal, which in the superlative talk about Gadlusa Shel Mordechai. The Torah tells us that one of the components of the Shemen HaMishcha and the Keteris is something which is called Mordrer. And all we know is that it's some type of spice. Now, of course, if you look in your art scroll based on the King James Version of the Bible, right, they translate it because they know everything. They know what Mordrer was. Where they know where it was from, don't ask me, but they know. I can't even pronounce the English word that they translated to me. I have no idea what the pronunciation is. I looked it up in the dictionary, couldn't work it out from there either, how you pronounce it. But Al Koponim, it is spelt M-Y-R-R-H. Well, if you know better than the Webster and the Oxford, fine. Now, what was it? What is it? The Rambam, in Perek Aleph of Hilchos Klei HaMikdosh, Halacha Beis, says the Rambam, the way in which you make the Shemen HaMishcha is by mixing oil with a number of components which are, quote unquote, spices. And one of them, says the Rambam, is something called Mar. Says the Rambam, what is it? Says the Rambam, it is what we know as Moisek. What is Moisek? It's the dried blood of a well-known chaya in India, which when you dry the blood, it turns into dust. And it's this dust that was used in the Shemin HaMishcha, says the Rambam. They took the blood of this chayo, they dried it, turned it into a powder, mixed it in, and it so happens, says the Rambam, that it has a very, very attractive scent. It smells good. The original biblical deodorant. Fine. Comes along the Ravid. And the Ravid gets very upset with the Rambam. And the Ravid says, it is impossible that the Torah should have been mechayev us to take the dam of a chaya and use it as part of klei hamishkon. The kol shekein a chaya, which is a chaya tmeo, can't be. Because this chaya, says the Ravid, from which the dam was taken, which is called moisek, is a chaya tmeo. It's not yitochin, says the Ravid, that the Torah would be mechayev us to take a chaya, something from a chaya tmeo and use it in the mishkon, in the mokem ashrois hashchina, can't be. To which the Kesef Mishnah comes along, and he brings a whole slew of rishonim who support the Rambam and argue with the Ravid and say, no, the Rambam's correct. And the Ravid's Taina is not a Taina. Why is the Ravid's Taina not a Taina? Shekiven nishtane mitzuras dam, says the Beis Yosef in Kesef Mishnah, seeing that it changed its tzura from dam, v'nase ke'ofo ba'alma, and it's become just dam powder, v'achshov hu meiriach reyach toy b'yoyse, and now it's got a very nice scent, lomo yigora, what's wrong with it? In other words, the case of Mishnah, the Beis Yosef, is bringing Rishonim, who are saying a principle which we find in many other places as well. The concept of panim chadoshes bo lekan. If something goes through a process whereby the process transforms completely the object, then even if the object started off from a makor, which was makor atuma, if it's now something new, it's a panim chadoshes bo lekan, it's a beria chadosha, then it's not also. And this is discussed at length by the Rosh in the sixth Peirik of Brachas, the famous Rosh, which talks about dvash. We eat bee honey. Where's honey coming from? It's coming from the bees. Right? Ever heard of a bee kugel? Anybody eating here a bee kugel? No, why not? Because even if you happen to be an Orthodox Jew who lives in Bangkok, you also don't eat bee kugels. Even though in Thailand it's a very, very, very big delicacy, as various other reptiles and worms are. Coated in sugar and fried in an open flame. Why not? Because it's a tomato. The bee is tomato. So how do we eat the dvash? Why don't you become fleishik every time you drink a glass of milk? It's part of the cow, no? The whole debate which goes on in reference to gelatin from a behemoth tmeo, whether it's mutter is also, revolves around, is it al pi halacha considered to be within the process of how it's made, a panim chadoshes bo lekan. Says the Beis Yosef, no problem, the Rambam's right. There's absolutely no problem here. So I think that when the Gemara in Chulin came along, and Chazal told us, or asked, Mordechai min ha'atayre minayin, Chazal were telling us a tremendous yesod. It's 100% true. If you go back to the Sheirish Hadova, if you start looking at where did things start from, in other words, if you start relating to the past, then Al Kokacho, Mordechai was a negative figure. If you're relating to the present, to the Baal Sheh Ushom, if you're relating to the way it is now, L'achar HaMaisa, whatever the reason for the Gezeira was, but the Gezeira happened, who saved Klal Yisroel from the Gezeira, after the Gezeira happened? Irrespective of who caused it. Now, at this point in time, who saved Klal Yisroel? Mordechai. Ask Chazal, where do you see this concept? Where do you see this concept that from a certain perspective you don't look at the past, you deal with the present? Mordechai. That which Mordechai at Tzadik represented. The fact that we don't look at what happened to him beforehand. We look at where he's at now. Where does that concept come from? Where do we see such a thing in the Torah? Answer the Gemara, it's poshut where we see it. Mor dro. Panim chadoshes bo l'kan. It's a new entity. It's not the Chaya Tzmeya that the Rav had thought it was. It's the Reach Nechayach that the Rambam describes it. Because you don't look at the past. You look at the present. There is a pasuk in Tehillim which presents a problem. The pasuk says, "Tikosei v'zois l'doyer achron." The capital Tilim, which is capital Kuf Beis, is describing the Nisim that took place to Klal Yisrael in the course of history, where Klal Yisrael was saved from Kol Minei Gezeiros. And David HaMelech is extolling praise about the Ribono Shel Olam for all the Nisim Beniflois that he did to Klal Yisrael on different occasions in Jewish history. And then David HaMelech says, "Tikosei v'zois l'doyer achron." Write all this down. The future generations should know this. And that the Am Nivro, that the people which will be created, Yahalel Ko, that they should praise the Ribono Shel Olam. The Medrash, Chazal, and that Pasuk in Tehillim ask, "V'chi asido uma acheres lihiboreis shehu oimer v'am nivro?" Well, the Ribono Shel Olam is going to create a new nation at some point in time, which is going to be his nation, b'mkom Klal Yisrael. And they have to know about all these nisim in order they should be able to praise God. No, we're talking about Klal Yisrael. Klal Yisrael was already created. What's this business, say Chazal, of Va'am Nivro Yahalel Ko? What does this mean? To which Chazal give an answer. Chazal give two answers, in fact. Elo Om Rabbi Yehuda Bar Simon. Rabbi Yehuda Bar Simon says the following. Ze Doirei Shel Mordechai. This is referring to the door of Mordechai. Shenivra'u kibriyo chadosha. It's as if it's a new creation. V'rabbonon omru, eilu adoiris shechayovim b'maseim oroim. These are the doiris which according to their evil actions should be destroyed. Uboin va'isin tshuva. And they do tshuva. Umisparim lefanecha. And they pray in front of the Ribbono Shel Olam b'Rosh Hashanah b'Yom Kippurim. Ulefi she'em mischadshin es ma'aseihem. And because they do tshuva, HaKadosh Baruch Hu boire oisom bria chadosha, the Ribbono Shel Olam creates them as a bria chadosha. There is a system and a method of divine judgment that relates to a person who's alive. Every person who is alive, he has chuyos and he has chayvos. He has merits and he has debits. And when he gets judged by the Ribbono Shel Olam, how does the Ribbono Shel Olam judge him? The Ribbono Shel Olam judges him by weighing up his chuyos against his chayvos. If his skuyos are more than his chayvos, then his yetzer zakai bedin. If his chayvos are chas v'sholem more than his skuyos, then his yetzer chayv bedin. Unfortunately, it doesn't just work on quantity, it works on quality as well. But at the end of the day, it's a mishkal. It's a weighing up of schuyos keneged chayvos. If the person has more schuyos than chayvos, in which case he remains alive, is that an act of tchias ameisim? Certainly not. There's no tchias ameisim involved there. He, as a living person, was zeicher badin, that it wasn't nigzer olav that he has to die. And therefore he continues living. There's no tchias ameisim involved. Nevertheless, he has to give praise to the Ribbono Shel Olam that it wasn't nigzer olav misa. Why? Because the fact that it wasn't nigzer olav misa in itself constitutes Chesed and Rachmim of the Ribbono Shel Olam. Because if the Ribbono Shel Olam would really have judged him with the absolute total Midas Adin, David HaMelech already said, Avoinos Yishmer Ko Mi Yamoid. If the Ribbono Shel Olam is really going to take into consideration our Avoinos, then none of us would be able to survive it. So there's a darga here of chesed mitzad the Ribbono Shel Olam every time that the Ribbono Shel Olam judges us, even when we're alive. And even when the judgment is that we remain alive and are not mechuyev of misa, it's a maisa chesed from the Ribbono Shel Olam that he's judging us for midas ha-chesed. However, this is a lower level of midas ha-chesed of the Ribbono Shel Olam. It's not the highest level of Midas HaChesed of the Ribbono Shel Olam. Because the highest level of Midas HaChesed of the Ribbono Shel Olam was the Midas HaChesed with which the world was created. Let me explain to you what I mean. When the Ribbono Shel Olam created the world, the world had no schusim that it should be created. Because it didn't yet exist in order that it should have schusim that it should be created, because we're talking about before it was created. So when the world was created by the Ribbono Shel Olam, it wasn't created on the basis of schusim that the world had. The world was created by a pure maisa chesed of the Ribbono Shel Olam, the rotzen of the Ribbono Shel Olam that he wanted to be mative with his briyos, He wanted, therefore, to be Bayre Nivroim. And in order that these Nivroim should have a life which should be comfortable for them, and in order that Ribbono Shel Olam should have a vehicle to be mashpia on these Nivroim, Toiv, therefore, he created a world. And that's the Midas HaChesed which the world was created with it. And about that, the Pasuk says, Olam Chesed Yibone. The Ribbono Shel Olam created the world with a pure, pristine Midas HaChesed. However, even after Brias Olam, this Midas HaChesed, this pristine, highest level of Midas HaChesed, the Ribbono Shel Olam, still exists. Where does it exist? It exists in a situation where an individual or where a tzibur lose their zchus kiyum. They lose their right to exist. And it's nigzar on them a din misa. In a situation where a yochid or a tzibur lose their right to live, and therefore the Ribbono Shel Olam should be gozer on them a din misa, the Ribbono Shel Olam uses the Midas HaChesed which he used to create the world. In other words, a bria which is purely l'shem chesed has nothing at all to do with what happened previously. And what he does is he creates these people who are nidoin l'moves, as it were, like a bria chadosha, and what they did in the past bears absolutely no relevance to this point in time now. Chazal had a Kabbalah, and this is what Rabbi Yehuda Bar Simon said, that this is what happened at the time of Mordechai. Mordechai represented the concept of Ponim Chadoshes Baal Lakan. Mordechai represented this idea, disregard what happened in the past. It's a new start, it's a fresh start. Kal Yisrael, the time of Mordechai, as Chazal say, were all of them mechuyev kliya. They were mechuyev destruction. They were meant to be killed. And it's very possible that Mordechai was part of that as well. For different reasons, maybe. For as we said, maybe Mordechai also, there was what to blame there. The fact that they were yotzu mi'afeil al-ar gadol, the fact that there was a Yeshua on the part of the Ribbono Shel Olam, this was a pure act of chesed shel brias ha'olam of the Ribbono Shel Olam, that the Ribbono Shel Olam turned around and said, ponim chadoshes bo lakan. The same as Mordechai is ponim chadoshes bo lakan, so too the entire generation is ponim chadoshes bo lakan. And along in the Chazal come the Rabbon, and they don't argue on the principle of Rabbi Yehuda Bar Simon. They agree, they just take it a stage further. They say this is not just a one-time event that took place at the time of Mordechai. This happens continuously. That's the whole Nakuda of Rosh Hashanah and the whole Nakuda of Yom Kippur. Every time there is a Yom HaDin, and Chazal say that every day is a Rosh Hashanah and every day is a Yom Kippur. That every day there's a din on the person. That the din on the person is with a Midas HaChesed of Bria. That the Ribbono Shel Olam says, if a person has charota ala ova, if a person has kabbalah ala otzid, then ponim chadoshes bo lakan. It's a bria chadosha. It's not the same person, and therefore we ignore whatever happened in the past. However, we have to know one thing. Even though this is a chesed of bria sa'olam, It's not coming as a reward for something. It's not coming in exchange for something. It's a pure Maisa Chesed and Ribbono Shel'olam is the same as the Brias Olam was a Maisa Chesed and Ribbono Shel'olam because it didn't come as a reward for anything. The world which didn't exist couldn't have had any Zechuyos. Nevertheless, there's a payday. Because basically what it is, it's a line of credit that the Ribbono Shel'olam is giving. Day in, day out, the Ribbono Shel'olam gives us a line of credit. And the line of credit that Ribbono Shel'olam gives us is I will ignore everything that happened in the past. And I will look at you as a panim chadoshes bo'ul akam. And I'll go so far as to say that you're not even just a strange new customer, but you're a customer with a good credit record. And therefore I'll give you credit. But you have to pay it up. And that's what the Ribbono Shel'olam is waiting for. There is a tremendous Musa Haska which is being told to us in all this. Whatever happened in the past is irrelevant. Whatever a person did in the past is irrelevant. There is no baggage as far as Chazal are concerned. Every day is a new day and every day is a new start. And the Ribbono Shel'olam every day turns around to man and says to man, Ponim Chadoshes Bo'u Lekan. We're not interested in what the Shoshim were. We're not interested in what happened in the past. We're not interested whether you were a Chaya Tameya or you weren't a Chaya Tameya. It's irrelevant. At this point in time, you are a Ponim Chadoshes and you have a Reach Nechayach. But, it's a line of credit. You now owe the bank. You now owe the Ribbono Shel'olam. Says the Ribbono Shel'olam, okay. Let's see if you pay up. Let's see if you want to be a Beria Chadosha. Let's see if you want to be a Ponim Chadoshes. If you want to be a Ponim Chadoshes, I'll give you all the credit lines you need. But the Ribbono Shel'olam is no different than a bank. They'll give you a credit line once, and they may even let you mess up once. They'll give you a credit line twice, and they may even let you mess up twice. They'll give you a credit line three times and you miss up. They will not give you any more credit lines.